Eric and Marissa, thank you. Good morning. It's good to be with you today. So I am going to start off with a really simple question for you this morning. Did you wake up to an alarm this morning? How many of you? I'm seeing some hands. I saw Mike's hand. He was on logistics this morning and was up here early, so that makes sense. My husband Steve and I wake up to an alarm just about every morning. We're people who really enjoy routine, and we set our alarm for 5:30 every morning. We have a routine where Steve gets up first and he'll get the coffee started for the morning. And then he usually will go back to bed till close to like 6 o'clock. And meanwhile, I get up for the morning. I have some quiet moments of prayer, and then I grab my first cup of coffee for the day. Then Steve meets me out in the living room, and we have a cup of coffee together before we get rolling on our whatever is ahead for the day. It's a predictable pattern. We've done this for years by now, and actually we really treasure it. A few weeks ago, Steve set the alarm, but must have accidentally pushed another button. The next morning, we run through the normal routine. So he gets up and starts the coffee. I get up and have some time in prayer and pour my first cup of coffee. What do I realize, though, when I sit down to have my first sip of coffee? It's 4:30 in the morning. Definitely a little earlier than usual. And here's the thing. I've been going through this routine and I'm completely unaware of the time. Actually, it didn't even matter. I didn't even realize it. It's enough of a path that we've run through together in the morning that both of us were completely unaware and not really paying attention. We all have patterns to our everyday life that are expected. But here's what I'm noticing about my routines. In the midst of these patterns, there is also a lot of noise. Clearly, there's the physical noise of the day, but noise is far more than the sound of the alarm. This noise is what's around us in our world that seeks our attention and our acceptance. You probably feel this noise too. It's listening to the news of the day and the commentaries that come along with it from whatever news source we choose. It's reading the posts and their comments on social media. It's the advertisement about the product that is going to change your life. Everywhere we look, almost all day long, something is seeking our attention and our acceptance. It's noise. Maybe you've experienced the noise in a conversation about politics with your sister that every time that you see her ends with some sort of a dangling tension. Or maybe it's the unsolicited parenting advice that you get from your neighbor that was well-intentioned but really wasn't necessarily very helpful. Or it's that Facebook post that you put out an honest question, but the comment section became very heated and filled with lots of opinions and positions from your friends and acquaintances. How much of our attention is captured by the noise? And what if this noise is not only distracting us, but also prevents us from intently listening to God's voice? When we listen to all of the noise, we may not hear God's voice as he speaks to us. I wonder how we sift through the noise we hear each day in media, in politics, in our communities, and in our relationships. Does that noise shape us to be more like Christ? Or does it end up dividing us from one another even more? These are not new issues. The first church also dealt with this. We're starting a series today called Noise, where we're going to be exploring Paul's letter to the church of Corinth and the noise that was dividing this community of believers. If you have your Bible with you this morning or you have it on your phone, we'll be starting in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Let's dive in together. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. Paul begins this chapter by describing the church of Corinth as worldly and immature in their faith, as infants in Christ. We find out that there is division among them, that there is jealousy and fighting among the believers. What is the root of the fighting? Paul has heard that the believers have divided themselves over the various preachers of the gospel, specifically noting Apollos and himself. Apollos was an apostle, a church leader, and a friend of Paul's. He's a Jew from Alexandria, Egypt, described in the book of Acts as eloquent, mighty in the scriptures, fervent in the spirit, and instructed in the way of the Lord. We could consider Apollos like the Martin Luther King of our world. Apollos had attracted a following among the church in Corinth, but simple admiration was growing into divisiveness. There was a faction in Corinth that claimed Apollos as their spiritual mentor. And then there's Paul himself. He was a Jew, a Roman citizen, and one of the most influential leaders in the early Christian church. He played a crucial role in spreading the gospel to the Gentiles during the first century. And his missionary journeys took him all throughout the Roman Empire, starting more than a dozen churches. Paul could be considered the Nelson Mandela of our world. Two leaders, they each have their own style. They each have their own brand, perhaps. And different people are drawn to one or the other. These believers are choosing a voice to follow, a leader to follow. Some are following Paul, and some are following Apollos. These two men are both seeking to share the gospel with the believers of Corinth. And it's shaping them, but it's also causing division among them. For the people who were following Paul, many of them likely first received the gospel message from him, which compelled them to hold him in high regard for his preaching and encouragement. He was the church planter who gave the good news to the people of Corinth. For those who followed Apollos, he preached in a way that was notable, well-spoken and passionate in sharing with the believers. Maybe the Corinthians were arguing over who first brought them to their faith, or who was most passionate about sharing the good news, or simply who they preferred to listen to. This is what I notice as one specific kind of noise that Paul is addressing, and it's the noise of influence. The church is distracted by the noise of influence. For them, it comes by centering their attention on a favorite speaker, and it's causing fracturing in the faith community. But it's more than simply who's my favorite speaker. It's about who we allow to influence our thinking and our actions. Who we listen to and who we follow can distract us, shape us, and divide us. Do you feel this in our world today? Are we distracted by all of the noise of the voices we encounter each day that we struggle to center our attention and to discern what message matters? When I was a junior in college, I served as a resident assistant in one of the dorms. I was on a floor with 56 freshmen and sophomore women, and my role as an RA allowed me to have some very honest conversations with these women about acclimating to college, embracing and sometimes struggling with their independence, and understanding the questions of who you are now and who you're hoping to become. I remember a specific conversation about halfway through the academic year with one of the freshmen who was on my floor. She shared with me that she was struggling. She was struggling academically, she was struggling personally, and she was feeling very disconnected from God. Within the conversation, she described her older siblings' impressive achievements and the expectations that she was feeling from her family. She described the small school system that she had grown up in and that she had felt like it was such a safe and comfortable place to be. And then she described the start of her college experience with new expectations, new thoughts that were forming in her about her future, and new relationships that were starting to really cause her to feel some conflict about the experience she had had growing up and the experience she was having in college. She had these influences from her past, and she had the current influences in her life. And it created a crossroads for her, maybe even a feeling of division inside of her. And she was searching for God's voice in the midst of all of these voices. We've all experienced some noise of influence, and it's likely that our perspective of what we value and where we choose to focus our time and resources have been shaped by that. It can be vulnerable to evaluate how we are shaped by the noise of influence, and it can leave us asking questions about who we give our attention to. When we think about the believers in Corinth, they were the early church still establishing, still being shaped. And the voices that they were listening to and following are shaping them, but they were also creating disagreements among them. Paul speaks to these believers and challenges them. He challenges the division that they're experiencing, and he's also noting that they're missing the message that these voices are offering to them. Whose voice is the loudest in your life? Maybe it's your parents' voice that you can clearly hear, even if you're an adult and haven't lived with them for years. Maybe it's your supervisor's voice or a coworker's voice, and it sometimes makes it hard to separate what you think of work and what you feel about the voices that you're experiencing. Maybe it's a podcast that you listen to faithfully, or maybe it's this friend whose perspective you really count on. Maybe it's your spouse. How are you being shaped by those you are listening to? Let's take a look at another example of Paul addressing the church about noise in their life in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to start with verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Paul describes different kinds of gifts, service, and working, but God is the same. God anchors our gifts, and he is at work in each of them. Then Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 12 to describe different spiritual gifts, and he's trying to help these believers to see both that there is unity, but also that there's a diversity in these gifts, but that there is one Spirit and that there is one body of believers using their gifts together. Let's continue at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. As with a physical body made up of many parts, Paul goes on to explain that the body of Christ, these believers, work together with their gifts to serve God. We saw in 1 Corinthians 3 how there were divisions over the noise of influence and which speaker we like best. And here in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is addressing the noise of comparison and which gifts in the community are best. We've been there, right? Comparing what we bring to the table with what she brings to the table. Feeling as though I could never be like them or I could never do what they do. In chapter 3, it was influence that was dividing the church. And here in chapter 12, it's comparison. We are not only distracted by the noise of influence, we are also distracted by the noise of comparison. The Corinthians are elevating the important spiritual gifts, not seeing their lives, their gifts, their service, their work, as lived as one body of believers on mission together. They are distracted by the noise of comparison, and it's dividing them. Paul continues his challenge to the believers in verse 24. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Paul concludes this passage by encouraging the Corinthians that there should not be division among them, but instead an honoring of one another. Why is Paul taking issue with all these divisions among the Corinthian church? Why does it matter? This is a classic case of missing the point, and it's why Paul writes a fiery letter to a divided church. Paul speaks of the unity of believers, the necessity of the whole body working together. Each spiritual gift matters. Each person using their gifts plays a part in helping people find their way back to God. And the Corinthians are missing it. They are so focused on the noise of comparison, distracted by the who's better thinking, that they don't even remember how God has shaped them in the first place. I love how the Message translation of 1 Corinthians 12 describes the spiritual gifts given to each of us. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The spiritual gifts that God gives to us shape our everyday lives with purpose and unity, but we, like the Corinthian church, may be distracted by the noise of comparison. Where in your life do you see yourself measuring who you are to others? Maybe you see the noise of comparison at work where you are noticing a coworker's performance or the accolades they're receiving, and it's causing you to question your purpose or even whether you're in the right vocation. Maybe you find the noise of comparison with a sibling whose life you've watched in parallel to your own, and you're wondering how your gifts measure up to theirs, or how your everyday life even stacks up. Maybe you've experienced the noise in the comparison on social media when you look at other moms compared to yourself, look at their experiences and their parenting, and you start to wonder, do I measure up as a parent? Where is the noise creating separation from others as we compare ourselves, our gifts, and our lives to others? Here's what I notice. There is the noise of influence that we talked about in 1 Corinthians 3, and it's dividing the believers. And there is the noise of comparison here in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's dividing the believers. Both types of noise are distractions. Both types of noise are creating division. The influence noise isn't letting people hear the message that Paul and Apollos are trying to share about God. The comparison noise isn't letting people experience the reality of God's gifting. The noise in our lives holds us back from listening to God's voice. Looking back at 1 Corinthians 3, Paul seems to suggest that there is a truth that God is trying to communicate, but like the Corinthians, we may miss it because it's hard to get past the preferences we have for a favorite speaker or the comparisons that we have in our lives. What is Paul's encouragement to the church? Let's take a look at verses 5 through 9 again. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Paul gives the metaphor of a seed planted and watered, and that he and Apollos are co-workers in God's service. Paul is reminding the church of Corinth that he is a servant, as is Apollos, and that only God makes things grow. He repeats this phrase twice in verses 6 and 7 to emphasize the significance of the source. Paul doesn't want the church to miss the point. It's not Paul's voice or Apollos' voice that matters. They are each trying to point the Corinthians to the voice of God, to hear how he's speaking to them. We can be distracted from the outside and from the inside, but it's only when we move past the distractions and listen to the voice of God that we actually are shaped and grow. Let me say that again. We can be distracted from the outside and from the inside, but it's only when we move past the distractions and listen to the voice of God that will actually be shaped and grow. So how do we do that? How do we move past the distractions to listen as God speaks to us? I want to share a way forward for us today. Remember earlier when we talked about the patterns of our days? God gives us another rhythm, and it's actually what we're doing right now as we engage in corporate worship. Corporate worship is an intentional rhythm that can shape and form how we see and function through all of life. Eric uses this definition of worship a lot. He already said it this morning. It's what focuses our heart's affection and our mind's attention on who God is and what he's done for us. That sounds a lot like cutting through noise, doesn't it? When we come together, we have the opportunity to approach God in worship, to listen as God speaks to us through his word, and to respond in thankfulness and service to others. This time in worship shapes us. It shapes our hearts as we give attention to listening to God's voice in these moments. It's the opportunity to be present with God in his deep love for us over everything, and together with all of the other believers in his body, the church, all of us together, to engage in this rhythm. I wonder if corporate worship is sometimes experienced as something that I'm supposed to do. Friends, worship is not about doing the right thing, checking the box, or fulfilling an obligation. Instead, worship is an opportunity for intimacy, an opportunity to approach our loving Father, to hear his voice and respond. And we have the joy of sharing in this rhythm with others who are also seeking to worship him. It also serves as a rehearsal for the rest of life. It equips us to listen to God's voice as we face the noise of our everyday lives. If we think of corporate worship as an experience that we engage with and then move on with our weeks, we're limiting how worship throughout the week can shape and form us as we listen to God's voice above all the noise. It's keeping our experience with worship compartmentalized to Sunday mornings. But God speaks to us throughout the week, throughout each and every day, as we turn our attention and our affection to him, as we center our lives on him instead of being caught up in comparison and influence. For many of us, worship feels pretty abstract and maybe challenging to even know how to engage. What does it mean to worship? Our first thoughts may come to mind are around singing on a Sunday morning, and that's part of it. But let me give us three steps to understand worship that we do together here in corporate worship, but can actually be done every single day to focus on God rather than the noise. First, approach God. How are you coming to him? Where do you meet God? Maybe it's inviting God to time together through a short prayer, through journaling, through silence, through reading through a passage of scripture, or through listening to a song. Then listen as God speaks to you. Perhaps there is a word or phrase that stands out from reading scripture or from a song or from prayer or time in silence. Spend time on that word. Ask the question, God, what are you saying to me? And allow the space for him to speak. This may not happen all at once, but hold on to what you hear. Finally, respond with gratitude and service. Thank God for that time spent together. And as God speaks to you, consider what he's inviting you to do next. Where is a place in your daily life that you could begin this week to try approaching worship this way, maybe giving time to these steps twice this week? Where can you pause from the pace of your day to practice this rhythm, recognizing that God meets us and speaks to us as we seek to listen closely to his voice over the noises that we encounter every day? Maybe today you're realizing that the noise you're experiencing is distracting you. Maybe you can name some of the voices of influence that seem so loud in your life right now. Maybe you can see the noise of comparison that is present in your everyday life with others. How is God inviting you to turn your attention away from the noise toward his voice as he speaks to you from his unending love? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to approach you this morning, to worship you, to listen to your voice over all of the noise that we experience in our daily lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to prompt our hearts, that you would continue to work in us through the words that you speak to us. And Lord, I pray that with the invitations that we receive from you, that we would take steps in thankfulness and in gratitude and in the opportunity to move closer in service to others. Lord, I thank you so much for your love, your unending love, for your grace, and for your mercy that you show us each and every day. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather as a body of believers this morning to worship you. And Lord, I pray that we would take this worship as a rehearsal, as a starting point for this week ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.